I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. With the global spotlight on the Sochi Olympics, seems everyone's got a Russia story to tell. Even the British medical journal, The Lancet. It's just published a study finding that Russian adults have extraordinarily high rates of premature deaths. And according to the study, one of the causes is too much vodka. Crude stereotypes aside, let's hear from someone who's really familiar with Russians and vodka. Lawrence Sherrad is the author of a new book called Vodka Politics.
I still remember my first experience, essentially right as I got off the plane. I spent some time at Moscow State University in the 1990s, just coming out of the metro station, my first impression of Russia was this guy who was walking past the metro with this massive gushing head wound and blood dripping all over. And he seemed to be in a daze, and he was dashing his hand with vodka and then splashing the vodka onto his open wound. And that was shocking to me, first, you know, coming straight off the plane. But also, even more shocking was that it didn't seem to faze anyone else. This was a large marketplace, and
wow.
Everybody seemed to think that this was just, you know, part of everyday life, I suppose.
Right.
So that was, to me, was kind of shocking.
So it's everywhere and apparently also has medical properties. Politically, what does a glass or two or three of vodka mean?
There's been a long history of vodka diplomacy, if you will, in terms of these large banquets that Russians would throw anytime there's a big political event, and it'd have round after round of toasts, and you know, in some cases 20, 30 rounds of toasts even before the meal begins, and that oftentimes is enough to get to even the most alcohol tolerant person a little bit tipsy and in their cups, I suppose. You know, Churchill ran into this when he went to visit Stalin in the 1940s. You know, it happens again in the 1990s when you have foreign dignitaries visiting Boris Yeltsin's Russia. It can be sort of an instrumental thing to keep people off balance and, you know, maybe belie some secrets that they might otherwise be harboring.
How and why did vodka become such a big part of Russian life?
If you go back hundreds of years, it wasn't as though Russians were always drinking vodka. You know, just like most of Europe, there was a deep tradition of brewing, you know, meads and kvass and beers, ales and porters. And that was essentially the drink of Russia. Well, then you have the introduction of distilling technologies by about the 1500s, 1600s. And gradually it starts to take hold. And part of the reason is that there was at that point a monopoly by the government on essentially on the tavern trade. And so if all the revenue from the sale of alcohol went to the state. So what you tended to find in sort of these early Russian taverns was an entire array of alcoholic drinks. So you had your beers and your wines and your meads, and you had some distilled vodkas. But the thing was is that you got a lot more bang for your buck, not only as a customer, but also as the state in terms of, you know, the price that you can get out of vodka. And slowly over time, you know, it sort of muscled out its competition, that they didn't want to provide beers in these taverns anymore, and they didn't want to provide wine because it wasn't profitable, and that left people with the only option, which was vodka. And so that's kind of how it gets entrenched early on, and that's, I think, where a lot of this comes from, is not so much, you know, alcohol and an appreciation for vodka being hardwired into Russian DNA, but as the result of these political and economic decisions that have really deep historical roots.
All in moderation. Mark Lawrence Sherrad, he's the author of Vodka Politics, Alcohol Autocracy, and the Secret History of the Russian State. The book came out this week. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thanks for having me.